who is before, a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, that I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying. I mean, this is faithful. You can tell anybody this. And it's worthy that everybody accept this, believe this, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Now, this is the only person in the world that came into this world to save sinners. Nobody else came to save sinners. All the rest of these so-called saviors came to tell men how to live and how to be accepted of God by things they do. But this man came not to give anybody directions on how to live, but to save them and give them his life. Give them his life. Of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause, because he came to save sinners, howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. I want to ask a question this morning and try to answer it. Am I a child of God? Am I a child of God? How can I know I'm a child of God? How can I know that I've been saved by the grace of God? How can I know I've been saved by the grace of God? Paul said here that Christ came to save sinners, and because of this I obtained mercy. I was a blasphemer. I was a persecutor. I was injurious. You know, John Newton asked himself this question. 'Tis a point I long to know, oft it gives me anxious thought. Do I love the Lord or no? Am I His or am I not? So am I a child of God? Am I been saved by grace? How can I know? Well, I tell you who you don't ask. I tell you who I don't ask. If I ask myself this question, I know who I won't ask. I won't ask you. I won't ask any other man whether I'm a child of God or not. I won't do it. I won't ask a preacher, because they don't know. And I won't, don't want nobody asking me, because I don't know. I couldn't tell you. I can't give you assurance. I don't know your heart. I don't know what God's done for you. I ain't going to ask another man. And I'm not going to ask, and I don't want you to ask, how much knowledge I have of God, how much knowledge I have of His Word. When Paul said, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. And I found out that the folks who seem to, in my opinion, know the most, they'll end up saying, well, I know so little. Know so little. And I'll tell you something else you won't ever ask, and you won't ever give your right answer about this. Am I a child of God? Have I been saved by grace? Don't question your feelings. Don't go by your feelings, whether you're a child of God, whether you've been saved by the grace of God. You know what? You hear people say all the time, well, I feel saved. I feel saved. Oh my. There have been many and many a day in my life I didn't feel it. I could tell you right now, if I go by my feelings, if I go by my feelings right this minute, I don't feel spiritual. I don't feel like I'm ready to fly away. I don't feel any goosebumps. I'm just here, trying by the grace of God to tell the truth. Yeah. And I don't go back on my experiences. And I'll tell you why I don't do that. I've had lots of, every good experience I've had a bad one. forever religious experience I've had an experience of the flesh. For every good thing I've said something bad. For every right thing I've done something wrong. So if we're going to go to experiences or feelings, you've got to accept the bad along with the good. Now, if you ask Simon Peter, after he denied the Lord 3 times, Peter, do you feel saved? And he'd look back to his feelings and his experience. He said, there's no way in the world I can know the Lord. But the Lord Jesus told Mary, he says, you go tell my brethren and Peter that I go before. So if you're going to go by experiences, Peter not only had his experience with the Lord Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, but he also had that horrible experience when he denied the Lord 3 times.
That's right.
He not only said, I know that thou art the Son of God, but he also said, far be it from you to go to the cross. So if you don't have one good one, you've got to take your bad with it. You've got to take all the good things you said with all the bad things you said. So you see, where are we going to go? How in the world am I going to know that I'm a child of God that I've been saved by grace? Huh? Oh my. How can I do it? Am I a child of God? How am I going to know? Who can tell me? Who can tell me? Who can give me some assurance? Who can speak to my heart, speak to my soul, and make me to know that I am one of His own, one that the Lord said, that the Lord knoweth them that are His.
Yes.
How can I know that I'm one of His? He said He knows them. He knows them. Who can give me assurance? Well, I'll tell you, there's only one place we can find out.
Amen,
only one place. Huh? I'm going to believe God for I believe myself. I'm going to believe God for I believe my experience. I'm going to believe God for I believe what I do. I'm going to believe God before I believe what anybody else says about me. I'm going to believe God. Huh? Let me show you what I mean by that. You see, it's by His... Look with me over in 1 Peter chapter 1. You know, God said... James 1:18 says, by His own will begat He us with the Word of truth. With the Word of truth. It's the Word of God that begets us again. It's the Word of God that gives us life, that quickens us from the dead. And it's the Word that bears witness to our own hearts whether we're children of God or not. Look here in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22. Now watch this. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit. If we ever obey the truth, it'll be the Spirit of God that brings the truth to us. And it brings us to an unfeigned and unhypocritical, a true love of the brethren. And see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Now watch it. Being born again. Not a corruptible seed, but incorruptible. There's two seeds here. There's the seed that we're born with. There's our flesh. There's our corruptible self. There's the man that my father and mother begat 1950 on February the 9th. That man grew up. That's the man standing here before you today. That's the corruptible seed that I got from my father. There's two seeds here. And being born again, not a corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed. What's the incorruptible seed? That's the Word of God. That's God's Word. Our Lord Jesus said, and you know, a sower went forth to sow seed. And he sowed seed. He fell on 4 different types of ground. And he said, he told his disciples, tell us this parable. He said, it's the Word of God is the seed. And when it's sown, it falls on hard ground, thorny ground, stony ground, and good ground. But the Word of God's a seed that's planted in the heart. And just like seed that brings forth life from a woman's womb, it's just the same thing. The Spirit of God takes the Word, the seed of God, and puts it in the heart, and it brings forth life.
Yeah.
Brings forth life. Now watch this. For all flesh is grass, and the glory of man is the flower of grass. This gonna, you know, we watch these flowers come out and these beautiful flowers, and tonight's gonna maybe freeze and it's just gonna be blinded. That's man, he comes up in all this beauty and glory and all this is beautiful, and then all of a sudden a blast comes and it's gone. That's the way we are. But the word of the Lord, watch this, endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. So from God's word, I'm going to ask two questions. Two questions. When I ask, am I a child of God? How can I know I've been saved by grace? Well, the only place we can find the answer to that, and the only place we can get assurance, is from God's word itself. But I'm going to ask the scriptures two questions. Ask myself two questions. First, am I a sinner? Am I a sinner? Am I a sinner? And do I believe with all my heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Huh? Ain't that what Paul said over here in 1 Timothy? He says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's why I ask that. Because God's Word says He comes into this world to save sinners. And I want to be saved. I don't want to be lost. I don't want to be deceived. I don't want a false prophet. I don't want the devil to give me a counterfeit. I want to be saved. And that's why he says, this is a faithful saying. Howbeit for this cause I obtain mercy. Why? Because I'm a sinner. Well, can I answer that question according to the Word of God? I can. Yes, I am a sinner. How do I know? First of all, God said I was. Now, you reckon God would lie on me or any other member of the human race? God says I'm a sinner. He says that there's none righteous, no, not one, that there's none good, no, not one, that there's none that seeketh God, there's none that understandeth. Everyone's going out of the way. We're all together become unprofitable. That's what God said about me.
Yes, sir.
Huh? And I'll tell you something else. Not only God's Word says I am, but my own conscience tells me that I am. My own conscience tells me that I am. You don't have to tell me when I sin. My conscience convicts me. My conscience tells me when I've said something, done something I shouldn't do. My conscience lets me know. My conscience tells me that I'm a sinner. My experience says that I'm a sinner. How many times have I sinned in my life? How many words has come out of my mouth that's been ungodly and unwretched, that's unthankful and unholy? How many words has went through my mind? How many curse words? How many meanness? How many murders have I committed? How many lies have I told? How many times have I been angry without a cause? How many times have I been unjust? How many times have I dishonored and shamed my master in this world? My experience says I am. Says I'm undone and I'm unclean. And my actions say that I am. The things I do says that I am. I've never, ever done anything unselfishly in my life or for the glory of God in my life. Not the first time ever. And the Holy Spirit says I'm a sinner.
Yes, sir.
The Holy Spirit, when He's come, what does it say? He said He'll convince you of your sin. And I've been convinced. I've been convinced that, oh, I threw up my head and said, yes, Lord, I'm a sinner. That's what Paul said. He had been a righteous man. He had been after the law. He had been righteous. He was without blame. And then he come to say, oh, now I'm the chief of sinners. Yeah. This is why God had mercy on me, because I was a sinner. Not because I had any merit, because I was a sinner. And the death of Christ tells me that I'm a sinner. Why would Christ die if He wasn't dying for sinners? If I had any righteousness, if I had any merit, if I had any strength, if God could save me any other way, why would Jesus Christ die on a cross? What was the purpose of the death of the death of Christ? Says yes, He's a sinner because Christ bore sin in His own body on the tree.
Amen.
God made Him to be I'll tell you something else. My wife will tell you. She can bear witness to it that I'm a sinner. My children will bear witness that I'm a sinner. My friends and loved ones will tell you, yes, he's a sinner. I'm a sinner when I feel it, and I'm a sinner when I don't. I'm a sinner when I loathe myself, and I'm a sinner when I feel good about myself.
That's right.
I'm a sinner from the top of my head to the sole of my foot. And that's why the Scripture says this, and the faithful said, and bless God, he says it, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And I own up to it. Will you own up to it? Oh, I can't help but own up to it because it's true. I'm ashamed of it. I'm not glorying in it.
No.
Oh, I don't want to glory in it. I'm embarrassed by it. I'm embarrassed by it. It's kept me awake at night. It's made me walk and be walking down the road. Me and Scott Richardson, one time we was over in Cherokee. We were sitting talking. He says, you know, I'll be out walking sometimes and something I've said or done will come across my mind and I just feel shame starts to dump my head and go all the way down my body. I just feel shame. The shame of what I said. The shame of what I've done. I'm embarrassed by it. I'm ashamed of it. And I'd love to cease from it. And I'm afraid even to tell God that there's things that I won't do again because I'm afraid. I know me. You ever done something you say, oh Lord, I'd sure like to tell you I wouldn't do that again, but I'm scared to death. But tell you I won't. I'll do it again and I'll make myself to be the liar that I am. And listen, it's an awful burden to know that there's something in you that's so against God and true righteousness and true holiness that you want to go ahead and establish your own. There's something so intrinsically evil that in me is I'd undone God if I could. I know that. Oh, I'm a sinner. I'm like that woman the Lord says, oh, it's not fit to take the children's bread and feed it to dogs. Yes, I'm the dog, Lord. I'm like Mephibosheth when Mephibosheth brought into David's presence and said, oh, why wouldst thou look upon such a dead dog as I am? Not just a dog, a dead dog. I'm a hypocrite. Talk about being a sinner, a hypocrite. I say one thing and do another. And I expect from others what I'm not willing to give myself. I make demands on other people's lives that I myself don't make on myself. You know what you call that? Hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. Call that self-righteousness. Paul said, I know this, that when I would do good, evil's present with me. What I would do, that I would do, I don't. That I hate, I do. So I see this law, this war in my members. This awful fight that goes on within me. Oh, how to perform. Oh, I'm willing. I'm willing to be holy. I'm willing to be perfect. I'm willing to be submissive to God. I'm willing to be in credit. I'm willing to be without sin, but how to perform. I'm willing not to be a hypocrite and self-righteous, but how to perform. I just don't know how. And I don't want to use, listen to me now, I don't want to use my depravity as an excuse for my sin. I don't want to use my old fallen nature as an excuse for my sin. I don't want to use the grace of God as an excuse to sin. I'll tell you before God right now, I bear the blame for every sin I've ever committed. I ain't fixing to charge God with what I do wrong. I'm not going to charge him for. I'll take the blame for every sin I've ever committed. I'll take the blame. And I'm the one that does it. It's me that does it. Nobody makes me sin. No one twists my arm. No one gives me that shove. They don't have to. Yes, I'm a sinner. And if God don't save me, there'd be no hope for me whatsoever. If Christ didn't come to save sinners, what's going to happen to me, Jane? What's going to happen to you? Oh, this is a faithful saying. Our Lord Jesus said, I came call not the righteous but sinners to repent. Oh, my second question. Do I believe with all my heart and soul, with all that's within me, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and I've trusted Him with my soul? Ain't that what Paul said here in verse 16?
Amen.
Howbeit for this cause I obtain mercy. Huh? That in me, Jesus Christ, back up in verse 12, he said, I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me. You know, the Word of God said, this is what God said. I want you to look with me now. You keep that. Look over with me in John chapter 9. Just a moment. John chapter 9. I often think this, you know, and I've often felt this, and I hope you haven't. I hope you haven't experienced this. But I'll say or do something, and I'll say, boy, I hope the Lord people never see me do that. I hope the Lord never people never hear me say that. But God does. But still, I wouldn't want you to know it. Still, don't want you to see it. Still, don't want you to hear it. Do you? Look what John, you know, look what he said here in John 9:35. You know, this is the man that's born blind. The Lord Jesus opened his eyes. And let's start back up really in verse 29. And this is the Pharisees talking, the religious people talking, the self-righteous talking. We know that God spake unto Moses, as for this fella, that's what they said about Christ, this fella, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, why, herein is a marvelous thing, that you know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. You don't know where this man come from? You don't know anything about his power and his glory? Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, that's the man God hears. And since the world began, it was not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind. If this man were not of God, he couldn't do a thing. That's what this man said about Christ. If he was not of God, what could he do? And that's what I say about anybody that God didn't send. What can they do? What can Mohammed do? What can Buddha do? What can the Pope do? What can I do? What can you do? And they, what's what they said to him? They answered and said unto him, you're altogether born in sins and you're going to teach us? Oh, you ain't going to teach us nothing. We went to the seminary. We graduated, we got our doctor's degrees. And I don't care what you say, we know what's right about for us. But oh, listen. And they cast him out. Our Lord heard that they had cast him out. You know why they cast him out? Because he was born in sins. We're not sinners. You're a sinner. You think we can't have nothing to do with you. You can't be in our bunch. You can't be in our bunch. You can't come here. Don't come among us, you sinner. When they cast him out for being born in sins, Jesus heard that they cast him out. And when he found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? Dost thou believe on that? He answered and said, Lord, who is he?
Yeah.
That I might believe on him. And our Lord said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. And he worshipped him. Oh my. You know, that like that Ethiopian eunuch. He was on his way back from being up in Jerusalem. He had went up there and worshipped. He had went up there and seen the sacrifices offered. He went up there and to Passover. Had all these wonderful times up there, and he was reading the scriptures on his way back home, sitting in his chariot. Philip got up in the chariot with him, and oh, but listen, he's sitting there reading. He'd been to worship. He'd been up there among all that religion. He was as empty when he went, empty when he left. Didn't know no more when he left than he did when he got there. And Philip opened the scriptures to him and began in Isaiah 53 and began to preach unto him Jesus Christ. And they came to some water. And that eunuch says, to here's water. What doeth hinder me from being baptized? What hinders me from confessing my faith right here? Now, there wasn't nobody there but two people. What does hinder me? And old Philip says, do you believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ, the one I just preached to you, was the Son of God, God in the flesh, one sin of God to save sinners, the one sin of God to put away sin? Dost thou believe that Lamb of God, that one who bore our sins in his own body, who was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities? God saw the travail of his soul and was satisfied, numbered with the transgressors. He said, do you believe that? He said, I do. I do. And boy, he was baptized right there. That's why Simon Peter said, you know, they came bringing the law and said, oh, you can't be saved except you circumcise. You can't be saved except you keep the law. You can't be saved except you do this, that, and the other. And Simon Peter stood up among all of them and says, we believe that through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they.
Amen.
And beloved, let me show you one other thing. Look over in Acts chapter 13 with me just a minute. Let me show you this. That's what I say now. See, I've got assurance. While I've been preaching, from the Word itself, it started giving me assurance that I'm a child of God. It started speaking to my heart. It started, you know, when I started talking about this. Oh, I'm so ashamed of my sin, but oh, look. Start talking about believing on Christ. Start believing on Him and Him being the Son of God, Him being the Lamb of God, Him being the Passover. Look at Acts 13 with me. Acts 13, 38. Look at this with me just a minute. Oh, I believe. Do you believe with all your heart? You know that woman at the well? She came down, the Lord Jesus came up to her, she's standing there getting her water. The Lord Jesus says, give me to drink. She says, sir, you're a Jew. And I'm a Samaritan. And you know, Jews and Samaritans don't have anything to do with one another. And our Lord Jesus said, oh, if you'd have knew the gift of God. If you knew God's gift. Gift. Given.
Amen.
You would have asked of Him. Not of this well. You would have asked of Him. And He'd have given you a drink of living water that you'd never thirst again. And you can't draw it from this well. He said, you won't come here to get it. He said, you'll never come back to this well to get that living water. Because this is not where it's at. And she says, sirs, there's a prophet coming from God. And they said that He would be the Messiah, that He'd be the Christ. He said, I just speak unto thee, I'm He. I'm He. She believed that. She threw away her water pot, forgot all about getting water. She run back in the town and said, sir, come see a man that told me everything he ever, and I ever did. He exposed me to myself and exposed my heart to himself, and that's the Christ. Do you believe him? And then the scripture says that many more believed on him, not for her testimony, because they saw him and heard him himself. Look here in Acts 13:38. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Bless His holy name. The forgiveness of sins. And by Him, all that believe are justified from all things. Oh, Lord, you don't know all this. Oh, yeah, I know every sin you've committed. I know everything you've ever done. You mean every sin I've ever committed? Everything I've ever done, every dark secret of my heart, every filthy, abominable, ungodly thing I've ever done, I can be justified from all those things? Yes. For which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Oh my. No wonder it's called the gospel. No wonder it's such good news. And let me tell you, but the Word of God said that through faith in Him, I could and would be saved. Not by doing, but by believing. So the question is not how much I know, but who I know. Baby don't know anything when he's first born. All he can do is cry and be fed and be nourished and be cared for. And that's why it's so imperative for folk to come hear the gospel. This is where we grow. This is where we learn.
Amen.
You see, the question is not how much I know, but who I know. It's not my knowledge of Him that's going to save me, but His knowledge of me. That's where I find more comfort. He knows me.
Yes, sir.
He knows me. And have I come to Him? Have I come to Him? Have I really come to Him? Have I come to Christ? Have I come to Him? Huh? You know, 1 Peter 2:4 says, to whom coming?
Yes, sir.
To whom coming? You see, the Christian profession, the Christian life, the Christian experience is never more than coming to Christ. I come, I'm coming, and I'm coming, and I'm coming. I'm coming, and I'm coming. We just keep coming to Christ. That's what it is. It's just coming. To whom come? When you feel saved, I come. When I don't feel saved, I come.
Yeah.
When I'm sick, I come. When I got joy, I come. When I have peace, I come. When I have sorrow, I come. When I have disappointment, I come. Where else are we going? Oh, Lord, they said to these disciples, you're going to turn and walk away too. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And oh my, in your heart right now, some of you are coming to Him. Oh, have I committed myself to Him? Oh yes. Yes, yes, yes. There's no one else I can go to. Paul said, I know whom I have believed. Whom I have believed. Let's just look at it. Let's just get over in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Just look at that. We're there in 1 Timothy. Just turn over 2 Timothy chapter 1. Look what it says here. Oh, there's no one else to go to. Who else can save me? Who else can come? Who else can assure us? Look what it says in verse 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. Watch it now. For I know whom I have believed. And am persuaded. And that word believe means trusted. Trusted. And I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. I know whom I've trusted. I know whom I've believed. I know who I've committed myself to. We trust people. You trust banks with your money. You trust your secrets with people. You trust your lives in certain situations. Can you not trust the Lord Jesus Christ with your soul? Trust Him. You know, we put things in trust for our children, things like that. We say, build you a living trust. Well, listen, Christ is our living trust. I trust him. We commit something to a trust. Now listen, I commit my life to his trust.
Yes, sir.
I trust him. I trust him. Trust him. Do you trust him? Oh, beloved, how I need the Lord Jesus Christ. I need him to be my Savior. I need him to be my Redeemer. I can't save myself. I'm hopeless without him. Have I turned from myself and turned to him? Have I turned from my righteousness to his? Have I ceased from my works and trusted his work? Have I quit my obedience and trust his obedience? Have I left off my goodness and looked solely to him and his grace? Have I come to where I don't trust my prayers, but I trust his power? Do I just look to my faith, or do I look to his faithfulness? Do I look how deep my repentance is, or I look to him who redeemed me? Oh, to be done with self. Just be done with self. To write D-E-A-T-H on me. Death. Put the sentence of death. Write it right here. Sentence of death. Banner belt. Sentence of death. Death. Write death on him. He is dead. Just be done with myself and throw the living part of me on Christ. For all time and eternity. To be as Paul, who said, I count everything but dung, but loss, that I might win Christ, that I might be found in Christ, having his righteousness, not mine. To press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ. You see, he's the starting mark and he's the finishing mark. He's the prize in the race. He's the crown for the fight. I remember Brother Albert Blaylock. He's been gone now since 2001. But I remember, I hadn't been preaching for you folks very long, maybe just a few months. And I didn't know much at the time, still don't know very, very little. And he had that hog house up there, and had all them hogs in it. He called me up there one day and asked me to come talk to him. We went in there, we sat down on some old white buckets. And he said, Brother Donnie, he says, you know, I don't know how in the world God can have anything to do with a man like me. He said, I'm the worst sinner that you can't believe how bad a sinner I am. You can't believe. I said, I'm worse than garbage. I stink. I said, you know how bad garbage stinks? He said, that's where I feel like garbage. I can't tell you just how awful. I just gave you. And he, you know, he was looking for some assurance, and I couldn't get him any. But I was just, my heart was rejoicing. Oh, you know. Because that's the kind of people Christ gave himself. And he died with such a blessed hope. Oh, my. Oh, my. I want to be saved. I really do. I want to be saved by him.
Yes.
I want to be saved his way. I want his will, not mine. I want him to be Lord, not me. I want him to be the ruler. I want him to choose everything for my life every day. I want my life mapped out by him. I want him to choose what's going to be best for me tomorrow, the rest of this day, the rest of my life. Because I know it'll be just exactly what it should be. It'll be just what it should be. I want him to choose my family. I want him to choose my friends. I want him to choose where I live. I want him to choose when I'll die. I want him to choose what happens to my body and what don't. I want him to choose what I experience and what I shouldn't. I need him. I want him. Augustine said, Lord, command what you will and give what you command. John Donne said, as the first Adam's sweat surrounds my face, may the last Adam's blood my soul embrace. Old Jack the Huckster, everybody remembers old Jack. I told you about it. Heard some women talking about Christ saving sinners. And he got going around singing, I'm the poor sinner, nothing at all. Jesus Christ is my all in all. Heard some women talking about that, singing that little ditty. Well, he began to sing it, and after a while he began to believe. I'm a poor sinner, nothing at all. He decided, well, I'm going to go. You know, he started going to the meeting house and started attending the services and wanted to join the church. They had to examine him and said, well, Jack, tell us about your profession. Tell us what happened. He said, well, I'm a poor sinner. Well, that's good. And nothing at all. Jesus Christ is my all in all. Well, Jack, didn't you go through this old dark pit? I'm a poor sinner. I can't be any more. I can't be any less. I can't be any more of a sinner. I don't know what more you want me to say about myself. Do I have to go here? Do I have to go? What more can I? I'm a poor sinner. Well, Jack, did you ever feel good? Don't you ever feel good about yourself? How can I feel good about myself? I'm nothing at all. Say the other day, like Scott said, you know what a hole in the donut is. Phil said, I'm the hole in the donut. That's what we are.
Yes, sir.
Without Christ, we're the hole in the donut. Zero, zip, nada. And that's what I want. Oh, poor sinner, nothing at all. Jesus Christ, my all in all. And I'll say this to you in trying to close. I know this much about being a believer. And like I say, I brought myself some assurance this morning here in this myself. Some hope for myself. Some comfort for myself. Some assurance for myself. I got to get the same place you do. Got to go the same well. Got to have the same bread, the same water, the same light. Got to have it all. Just like. And this is, but God won't let us move from this. No matter what we attain in this life, He keeps bringing us back to this one place. I'm a poor sinner.
Yes, sir.
And nothing at all. And Jesus Christ is my all in all. Won't let us move from that. That's the whole purpose of the gospel and the word and the preaching and the Holy Spirit. To make us be done with ourselves and trust Christ and Christ alone. Huh? And ain't that what Paul said here back over in our text? Oh, the gospel's to make men see themselves as sinners and Christ to be all in all. And that's why Paul says this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Paul said, I'm the chief. And that's the Holy Ghost said that's what he said about it. But you know, because I'm a sinner, that's the reason God gave me mercy. That's the reason God gave me mercy. I was ignorant about my sin. I was ignorant about it one time. I was ignorant of Christ. And so he said, I was ignorant. Ignorant. I was in unbelief. Everything I did it ignorant of God, ignorant of myself. But how be it for this cause I obtained mercy. That how Christ saved me is a pattern to how God saves every sinner. And now I'll tell you something, beloved, if this isn't enough, Christ came to save sinners, and do I believe that Jesus Christ is Son? If this isn't enough, then I'm not a child of God. If that ain't enough. If being a sinner and trusting Christ is not enough, I'm a governor. But oh my, don't tell me anything. Listen, I'm an absolute sinner. So I must have an absolute Savior. I got to have one that can save me all over. For all time. For all eternity. For all my life. And you know, God makes the gospel simple enough that men who can't read can understand it. That the deaf can hear it, blessed by the Holy Spirit. That the blind can see it when they hear it. And the dumb, who cannot speak, can call on Him. He makes this such a glorious gospel that the bedfast and the cripple can arise and go to Him. More about Jesus would I know. More of His grace to others show. More of His saving fullness see. More of His love who died for me. The more of Him I learn, the more I see how desperately I need Him. And I want Him. Don't you? I hope and pray that you've seen today, whether you're a child of God or not, whether you know the Lord Jesus or not, I certainly hope you do.